So, you know, within this portion, slavery and slaves are spoken about a couple of times. In fact, it opens up with a word about slavery, right? It says that if you see a woman who's taken captive, that means she's a slave, and you want to bring her into your house because you're drawn to her, what to do for her, not to think of her as a slave any longer. In fact, don't treat her like a slave. And in fact, it says that if you become unpleased with her, and notice it says, if you become unpleased with her, it doesn't say if she's become unpleasant, because it doesn't matter whether what she does. It's your own heart attitude that Adonai is keeping in check there. If you become unpleased with her, that she does not just go back into being a slave, but she's released to go anywhere she wants. And we see another direction in the portion later on in Deuteronomy 23:16 about slavery. So we're going to put that up. We're having a problem in the sound booth? Okay. So just listen to me. We're going to read, if you have your scriptures, follow along. Deuteronomy 23:16-17 say this. You are not to hand over to his master a slave who seeks refuge with you from his master. Let him dwell with you in your midst, in the place he chooses within one of your town gates, the one that is good for him. You are not to mistreat him. Even if they're not your slave, they have rights. The slave who ran away from his master, now some interpret that, you know, they want to expand that and say the slave who runs away from a master who mistreats him. But it doesn't really say that. That's, people interpreted that, I'm not sure, but that's for another day. They were to be given rights. We read the writings about slavery, and I believe that we can draw a line between the writings in all of Scripture about slavery and today's life as well. Even as we live in a land where slavery is not there out in the open, but it is in the shadows, don't be fooled, there is some in the shadows. Jenna's involved in an organization about this specific thing. But even if it's in the shadows or in other lands where it's more prominent, there are biblical instructions to follow. So let's take a look first at what slavery is and then the lessons from Scripture. So for Jewish people who were slaves to other Jewish people, they were always treated better than outside slaves. They became part of the family, actually, to such a point that everything was as a family with the exception of inheritance. A slave from outside Israel, and that would be a Gentile from a land that was far away, because they wouldn't have taken slaves from immediate people, right? They were told when they go into the land to kill everybody. So there wouldn't be slaves from locals, but from people who were far away. Those slaves were just property, and they would be treated as slaves. Some, especially today, look at slavery as a person's legal status or identity. As being called a slave shows that there's a power relationship between the two people. Now, Orlando Patterson's a professor of sociology at Harvard University, and he defines slavery as social death, saying that an enslaved person was alienated from all rights or claims of birth and ceased to belong to their own, ceased to belong in his own right to any legitimate social order. Now, that being said, we still have to remember that a Hebrew who owned any slave was still treating their slaves much better than any other country were treating their slaves. According to one Bible dictionary, in the Greco-Roman world during biblical times, owning slaves was not limited just to the rich, but that many households included at least one slave. The Greeks and the Romans both had a system where slaves could own property, earn money, and buy their freedom. Slaves provided labor for large portions of the agricultural business at that time, as well as skill-set business. Those who wanted skilled workers often used slaves rather than free men. Thus, many slaves were more economically secure than many who worked for wages. Because they were so skilled, you'd want them to be able to produce, and you would treat them well. For some, slavery was a choice to get out of financial troubles, or it was forced on them because of the financial troubles, or because of legal troubles. These were in addition to the possibility of being a part of a conquered people, of course. Now, in the Tanakh, the Israelites were given a choice between life and death in Deuteronomy 30, we'll remember, which I believe can be seen as the same kind of choice as being a slave and who your master is. So let's take a look at Deuteronomy 30, starting in 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. What I am commanding you today is to love Adonai your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his mitzvot, statutes, and ordinances. Then you will live and multiply, and Adonai your God will bless you in the land you are going to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not listen, but are drawn away and bow down to other gods and worship them, I tell you today that you will certainly perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are about to cross over the Jordan to go into possess. I call the heavens and the earth to witness about you today, that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life so that you and your descendants may live. In the same way, with the same choice even, we are called to choose. We can choose to be slaves to the world or to Adonai and Yeshua. There are those who want to believe that the choice is between slavery and freedom. But that's a very simplified look, and it's really not true. Because Satan would want you to believe that you can choose absolute freedom and be the only one above yourself. But what he's really trying to do is show you a deception. Because if you choose what he calls freedom, and you break off from Adonai, what you're really doing is choosing Satan and the world to be your master. Because everyone is a slave to something. Sin in the world, or they're slaves to Adonai and Yeshua. And the choice is voluntary. You're called to surrender to one or the other as a choice. Adonai says, I have put the choice before you. Choose life. So just as we read that Adonai says that you can make the choice to walk in his mitzvot, statutes, and ordinances, which he calls life, or you can choose to walk separated from him, and that's called death. But the fact is, there was and always will be a choice. You have that choice right up until the time you take your last breath, or until Adonai sends Yeshua for the second time. I believe that that means that you have the ability to actually go back and forth in your lifetime. There's no once saved, always saved. But the good news is, there's also no once lost, always lost. Adonai always wanted for men to have a choice and to choose Yeshua. Adonai never used force, though. It was always voluntary. There was never a use of force regarding the good news until later on in history when men erred in understanding how to spread the good news and how it was to be done. And they did it their own way instead of Adonai's way. This is where we run into things like the Crusades and such. Adonai, through the scriptures, encourages us to make a decision for what many call freedom in Messiah Yeshua. Look at what Yeshua says in John about slavery and freedom. John 8, starting in verse 34, says, Yeshua answered them, Amen, amen, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now the slave does not remain in the household forever. The son abides forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The question is, what does Yeshua set you free to become? The answer is that if we are slaves to what we follow, and if we follow Adonai, then we're slaves to Adonai. The premise is that there's no one that is truly free of everything. That all people are a slave to something, even if they don't realize that they're enslaved by something or someone. Adonai's freedom that he gives each person is to choose for themselves who will be their master. Again, look at how Yeshua describes his own role in the world. Matthew 20, starting in verse 25. But Yeshua called them over and said, You know that the rulers of the nations lord it over them, and their great ones play the tyrant over them. It shall not be this way among you, but whoever wants to be great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Yeshua states that he was sent to serve. In other words, to be a servant. In other words, to be a slave. But a slave to who? He did not come to serve man, but to serve Adonai and to follow the instructions of Adonai to benefit men. If this is Yeshua's call, then those who want to follow his way should also have the same calling. To serve as Adonai's slave to the benefit of men, which is the spreading of the good news and salvation through Messiah Yeshua. Yeshua, as Adonai's servant, is reinforced in Isaiah 42:1. 42:1 of Isaiah says this, Behold my servant whom I uphold. My chosen one in whom my soul delights, I have put my ruach on him. He will bring justice to the nations. This is the start of the first of four servant songs. The servant songs are found in Isaiah 42, 1 through 9, Isaiah 49, 1 through 13, Isaiah 50, 4 through 11, and Isaiah 52, 13 through 53, 12. Each one telling us that Messiah Yeshua would be a servant and a suffering servant at that. Yeshua said in his own words many times who he was going to follow. For example, in John 12, Yeshua says this, John 12:49, For I did not speak on my own. But the Father himself who sent me has commanded me what to say and speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Therefore, what I say just as the Father has told me. Now, the Amplified Bible says it this way. I have never spoken on my own authority or my own accord or as a self-appointed, but the Father who sent me, and it goes on from there. These are not the words of a master. These are the words of a servant. These are the words of a slave. I don't say what I want. I only say what the one who sent me tells me to say. Even Yeshua, as fully God, is also fully man, and therefore only does the will of the Father. So we also need to make a choice to either be bound to Satan and the world or free with Adonai as our master. We get not only to make the choice, we have to make a choice. Because believe it or not, there is a default setting. You know, during the announcements here, when we have first-time visitors, I hold up that card, and I ask them to fill it out, and I say, and if you want to be on our mailing list, you have to mark this box off, because we care so much about you and your privacy that if you don't mark it off, you won't be added to our list. Adonai says the same thing to us. He cares about you. He cares about your freedom so much that he just doesn't put you automatically on the list of saved. You need to make the choice. When we make the choice, we open ourselves up. But we're the ones who have to make the choice. You know, we may know. It's really much better for that visitor that they get on our mailing list. We know that, but we don't do it automatically. Adonai knows it's so much better for you to be saved, but he doesn't do it automatically. You have free will, and you are free to make the choice. And when we make that choice, it opens us up to certain things. Regardless if we choose Adonai or we choose not to follow Adonai, really, either way, the rules are the same. We become open to things. When we leave ourselves open without making a choice, or we make a choice to the world or to Satan, this is what we leave ourselves open to. The character of Satan. Satan's character can be seen in the book of Job. He openly mocks Adonai and Job, who is a child of Adonai. And he tries to keep Job from gaining presence to Adonai's presence. I didn't say that very well, but you know what I mean. He tries to keep Job from Adonai's presence. We leave ourselves to his work, open to his work. After speaking poorly about Job to Adonai, and after his first attack on Job, he actively tries to break Job down by causing heartache in his life. Loss of children. Loss of livestock or wealth, health, friends that could not comfort him were brought to him. I think that's probably one of Satan's attacks, these friends who could not comfort him properly. And the last part of opening yourself up is you put yourself last with no self-esteem. Satan wants you to believe that you have no place before the king. This is what Satan tried to do to Job, to make him curse Adonai and die. Remember even what the wife said? Why don't you just curse Adonai and die? Those were Satan's words leaving his own wife's mouth. His trick is the same today towards us. That what you are doing is wrong. There's no way back to Adonai. Look at all the awful things that are happening to you. In doing this, he's whispering in our ears that either you can't do anything or that you're just fooling yourself. Or, you know what the other opposite is? It looks like it's the opposite, but it's really the same thing. The only way you can get close to Adonai is by doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this. And you can become puffed up when you become over-trying. Looking out for only yourself, or looking inward to such a point that you cannot see or help others, is actually doing the work of Satan. Now, if we open ourselves up as slaves to Adonai, or what others would call free people, here's what we become open up to. We become opened up to the character of Adonai. Adonai's character is seen throughout scriptures, and it is that he wants to show us his love, and he wants that we should be with him for eternity. John 3:16, we all know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That's the heart of Adonai. That's his character. We open ourselves up to his character. We open ourselves up to work, to Adonai's work, which is the work of the kingdom. Luke 9:23. When Yeshua was saying to everyone, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross for his sake every day and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. There's still work to be done. That work is Adonai's work. That's work of salvation. That's work of spreading the good news. We open ourselves up to that work. And finally, we open ourselves up to putting ourselves last, deferring to others while still having great worth. Remember, with Satan, it was putting yourself last and you have no worth. Well, with Yeshua and Adonai, you're putting yourself last, but you have great worth. This is really the description of doing the work of Adonai. Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are given a description of the work of Adonai when it looks like, and what it looks like, and what we should be busy with in Matthew 28. And it's supported by Rav Shaul in Philippians 2, starting in verse 3. Do nothing out of selfishness or conceit, but with humility consider others as more important than yourself, looking not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Putting others first, making their interests more important than your own interests. That's how you're going to busy yourself in the field for Adonai. Knowing that the lost are important, and that what you do in the field spreading the good news is how you are to go about the work of Adonai. And one final scripture about working in the field is from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:24. The Lord's slave must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, tolerant. Let him give guidance with humility to those who are in oppression. Perhaps God may grant them a change of mind, leading to the knowledge of truth. Don't be quarrelsome, be kind, be able to teach, and be tolerant to who? Those who are in oppression, those who are lost, those who do not yet know Adonai. Don't quarrel with people. Just tell them the good news. If they really want to fight with you, what do? You shake the dust off and you move on to the next. Because all they really want to do is waste your time so you don't get to the next person who might be saved. Plant the seed, move on, move on. Teach them. Be tolerant of their different views. Doesn't mean you're accepting their different views, but be tolerant of it so that you can reason with them, so that you can point out the scriptures, so that you're not quarreling and fighting with them. That is how you're going to spread the good news. And we all know that when we share our faith, there will be times that those that we witness to are not going to be open. They're going to want to quarrel. They're going to want to fight. But we're called not to fight. We're called to be tolerant. Guide them back to the path. There just is no way to take the person off of the wayward way, pick them up, put them down on the path. I wanted to do that with my girls. What are you doing? No, here. Here's where you want to be. They were small. You could do that sometimes. You can't do that with those in the world. You can't pick them up from the wrong path and put them onto the right path. You can illuminate the right path. You can share with them, but you can't pick them up and move them. You can't fight with them. You can't push them. You have to be tolerant with them. So we're all slaves to something or someone. The question is not, will we be slaves? But instead, the question is, who will we have relationship with? Look at how the Israelites were described when they came out of Egypt in Leviticus 25. Towards the end of 25, Leviticus 25, 55, it says this: For Bnei Israel are my servants. My servants whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. I am Adonai your God. This one verse shows us who we are and who he is. We are his servants. We are his slaves. He is our God. He is our master. In fact, master of the universe. It sounds so simple that he is the master and the one who created all things, including you and me. But even as Yeshua was speaking to the people, they didn't recognize their own condition. Or that they had already made the choice for themselves. John 8:33, they answered him being Yeshua, "We are Abraham's children and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Yeshua answered them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Now, first of all, they reckon back to where Abraham's children have never been slaves. Abraham's children were slaves at a time. And slaves to sin as well. But can't you just hear America saying the same thing today? They don't even know that they're slaves to what they're following. They don't even know they're slaves to what they're allowing into their lives on a daily basis. They're allowing the world in unchecked, and it's becoming their God, or it has already become their God. That even now, even in that current condition, Yeshua can cleanse. Yeshua can set them free from the sins of the world. For those who make the decision to accept Yeshua as their personal Messiah, they can read Romans 6 with fresh eyes and a fresh understanding. Romans 6:20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free with regard to righteousness. In other words, they were free not to have the righteousness that they should have. So then, what outcome did you have that you are now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, now that you've accepted Adonai as your master, but now having been set free from sin and having become enslaved to God, you have your fruit resulting in holiness. And the outcome is eternal life. The sin's payment is death, but God's gracious gift is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. For those who were slaves to the sins of the world, the end was death. There is no other end. But once they accept Messiah Yeshua and they run the good race and they stay in the good race and they believe and they have faith, they have been set free to become a slave of God. What a strange little phrase, free to become a slave. But that's the goal, really, because you have to be a slave to someone. In Adonai, the fruit, instead of death, is holiness and eternal life. So what should a new believer expect? Not just from Adonai, but from other believers. When they come into a congregation such as this, what should they expect? This brings us back to the opening scripture today, Deuteronomy 23. That final portion of verse 17 that I read said, you are not to mistreat them. You are not to send them back to their old master, the world. This means to welcome them with open arms, regardless of who or what they were slaves to before. That means all ties to the former master are broken, and the bonds to Adonai are now loving bonds, which lead to eternal life in his presence and his love. This comes with the choice regarding each of our own slavery. Each of us must ask, will we be a slave to sin in the world, or will we be a slave to Adonai and the one true God, who created all and can save all men through Messiah Yeshua? Regardless of background, regardless of past sins, regardless of how far from righteousness you once were, and we were all pretty far from righteous at one time, there is a path of atonement, which is salvation through Messiah Yeshua. Father, we thank you that we not only call ourselves free people, we are free to accept that we are slaves to you. And we freely become slaves to you because you have shown us, and frankly, the world is an example of what it means to be a slave to the world in Satan. But the worst part is that they don't know, well, they don't recognize the end story. They don't understand what the eternal separation from you, Father, means. Adonai, I pray that you would soften hearts and open eyes of a lost world so that they'll understand what it means to be a slave of the world. And even more so, what it means to be a slave to you, Adonai. Ruach HaKodesh, touch hearts and minds. Open eyes so that they will see the salvation and the freedom that comes through the blood of Messiah Yeshua. That none would perish to a life eternally separated from you. Separation from you, Adonai, for eternity means being in a place of fire where the worm never stops eating at the flesh. Pain and suffering, gnashing of teeth. Sin brings only that. But your grace and your mercy brings us out of that. As long as we do it on this side of eternity, there will be a time that it becomes too late. So, Father, I ask that you open eyes before it becomes too late. Help us to explode your word into the world so that they cannot ignore it. Help us to show your way to salvation through Messiah Yeshua. We thank you in Messiah's name. Amen. Amen.